Henry Mahan. And he titles his article, Commitment or Indifference. Pastor Mahan writes, we see so little true commitment, so much indifference, and so few dedicated people in today's religious world that we may be prone to accept this attitude as normal. But it's not so. David wrote in Psalms 147:18, He sendeth out His word and melteth them. Paul wrote this in Romans 8:6, To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If God is pleased, writes Henry Mahan, to move in love and grace upon a person, the very life of Christ is formed in him, and unbelief is driven out by God-given faith. Indifference departs at the revelation of God's glory in the face of Christ. Ignorance vanishes as Christ is revealed in His work of redemption as just and justifier. Self-pride disappears before His grace and mercy. Self-righteousness has not the slightest claim in the light of His perfect obedience. Self-love takes an awful beating in the light of His love for us. No, it would be impossible for a true child of His great invincible grace to be indifferent or uncommitted after the melting of His word and revelation of His love. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn to the third Proverbs chapter 3, if you would. I consider it a great honor, a great and wonderful blessing, honor, to have folks call me when they need me. You know, Kathy and I were away on vacation, but sorrow and troubles that we must live through in this world don't take a vacation. Sometimes they come at us in the most unsuspected times, don't they? I don't know about you folks, but it sure seems to me that there's a lot of deep sorrow around us today. A brother in Christ was extremely troubled. He's a very healthy man. He doesn't live in here at this church. He's a very healthy man, but he's struggling with his faith as he goes to see the doctors about what's wrong with his heart. He's got a bowel problem. I was honored that he would seek out me to talk to him about Scripture for comfort as he was approaching the time to go in before the doctor. He's a faithful man. He believes in the Lord, but just as all of us, there comes times when our faith is weak. If you tell me your faith is never weak, then I don't know that your faith is true. And just as himself, we ourselves go through a lot of physical pain. Mental pain, heart pains, our feelings. We know that Leanne is struggling greatly with the loss of her husband. We know that Shelby Fortner, still after a year of the passing of her husband, continues to this day to cry at times when she misses, because she misses him so much. We know that our brother Roger Deaver misses Joyce so much. We know that my brother Lee misses his oldest son so much. This world is full of sorrow. There is much that is troubling our souls in this world as we live in it. Our brother in Christ and pastor friend, Kevin Thacker, and I were speaking yesterday, and to be honest with you, quite most likely, we're preaching the same message to our congregations this morning. I had no idea what I was going to preach, and he began to talk to me about these verses in Proverbs, and he said he was going to be preaching from the last chapter of Ephesians, and there was a relation to the two. So I have no doubt that he's probably been studying the same verses I have, and that he's probably preaching the same message, because there's so much sorrow in the world around us. The things that are going on in our very country can bring us to sorrow. The things that are going on in our very hearts, the struggles that we have within and with our sin, can be very sorrowful. If you're not sorry for the sin that is in you, you need to question. So for those who have those troubles, the troubles of the world, the troubles of lost loved ones, the troubles of work, the troubles of sin in their lives, our Lord says to me, he says to Kevin, he says to Norm Wells, Gene Harmon, whoever may be standing before God's people preaching, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. What words of grace can I give a brother who's struggling with his faith on whether he'll die or not from a heart problem? What troubles can I give to a young lady who's desperate for the mate that she's lived with and loves him so much and misses him so much? What words of comfort can I give to a man who's struggling with a pain that just won't go away in his body? What words of comfort can I give to a man who is troubled with work? We as children of the light do struggle with the pains of this world, the loss of loved ones, the fear of the unknown, pain and death, the course of our country, the evils of the world, but the most close to our heart is the wickedness that we see within, is it not? I'd like to talk to you today about our greatest weakness. Would you look with me at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Says, lean not. That's the title for my message today, is lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not. Lean not on my own understanding. Whew. What an unnatural thing to do. In fact, it's impossible. What you're saying in those words is, lean not on the things that you've experienced. Lean not on what you have learned throughout this world. Every part of our mind leans on what we know, does it not? Every part of our thought leans on what we've experienced. You put your finger in a cigarette lighter. John, don't do that. Yeah, that's right, I did. You would think, now I would grow up and learn from that, but there was a time when I was with a bunch of motorcyclists sitting around a fire and somebody said, don't grab that rock. Guess what? I rode the rest of the way home with this finger all bandaged up, a big old huge puffy bandage like that, riding motorcycles down the road going, number one, number one. We live today by what we have learned, what we have experienced. What do you mean don't lean on my own understanding? What do you mean don't trust in what I've already learned in the world and what I think of the world? What do you mean don't trust in what we've seen with our own natural eyes? How can I throw all that out and lean not on what I have learned over the time and experience of my life? I tell you this, you can't. It's not possible. Man, in our natural state, cannot and will not come to an understanding of the truths of God. That's all there is to it. Mark your text here in Proverbs, if you would, please. And turn over to the third chapter of John. Some very familiar verses. I know we've looked at this chapter many times over the last 6-7 months. But there's so much truth in what we're about to read. And I want to relate to what that means to lean not on your own understanding. How can I turn from all that I have known and put my trust in what is here in this book? What is here in this Word of God? How can I put my trust in it? If you've never heard this message, I pray that God may be pleased this day that by His grace to give you ears to hear. If you have heard this message, may God by His grace be pleased to comfort you, to comfort your aching heart. Look with me at this example of a man in his natural state and the explanation of salvation. Are you with me in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a Jewish leader in the religious realm of the Jews. He had the power to tell men to go here and go there and do this and do that. He's like the Pope. Well, maybe not as powerful as the Pope, but he was one of the men at the top of the church. The top of the religious group. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. Notice he came by night. He didn't have the boldness to come out during the day when everybody could see him. It was a plain and simple fact that Jesus Christ was an offense to the religion of the Jewish people. What do you mean that salvation is in this man, this carpenter, this one who is from Nazareth? How can that be? Our deliverer is going to come and deliver us from the Romans. Not from sin, because there's no sin in us. We follow the rule of the law as best we can. He came by night, and he said unto him, unto Christ, Rabbi, O teacher. That's all you are, is a teacher, you who teach. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Verse 3, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means to be born from above. Now here's a guy who's, I don't know how old he is, but I'm sure he's not a kid. He's a Pharisee. He's a leader. He's a full-grown man. What do you mean I got to be born again? How am I going to do that? Nicodemus saith unto him, verse 4, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see what I'm talking about? Leaning on your own wisdom, leaning on what you think, what you have been brought up to think throughout this world. You can't. This guy couldn't either. He had not been given the gift of being born again yet. He still was blind to the truths that God rules over everything, that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. And our Lord goes on to answer him in that question, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," in verse 5, "except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit." You can't lean on your own understanding of the flesh. You have to have a new spirit in you. To not lean on your own understanding is impossible, because God has to do it. He has to give you a new spirit in order for you to lean on Him, to trust on Him. Folks, I'm talking about the grace of God. The grace of God to each and every one of us. If we lean on Him, if we put our trust in Him, it's because He has loved us from before the world was. Plain and simple. Continuing on, our Lord said in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." In other words, don't worry about that. That's not the most important part here. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth." And here's the big deal right here. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Well, who controls the wind? God Almighty, right? Doesn't He control the wind? Didn't He say, "Be still," to the storm on the sea? And it was still, and everybody was amazed? Don't be so confused over the born again part. It's of God. Nicodemus answered and said in verse 9, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Are you not one who rules over people and not understand that I, the Lord Jesus Christ, rules over everything? And how when I say something will be, it will be? Verily I say unto thee," we speak that, verse 11, "that we know, that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Lean not on your own understanding. This man is a perfect example of leaning on his own understanding. It didn't make sense. Do you know, when you tell people, "It is by the will of God, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy," they'll say back to you, if they haven't been enlightened by Christ, "What do you mean? You mean to tell me I don't have a free will? You mean to tell me I'm just a puppet?" No. No. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we come willingly in the day of His love, in the day of His power, when He has given us a new heart, born again, born of the Spirit. Let me give you another example. Remember the demoniac man? Jesus Christ was in a ship and he went across the sea to a land where there was a man who lived in the tombs. He was filled with demons. And after the Lord had healed that man, a picture of how he has healed you and I, after the Lord had cast out all those demons, as he has done with you and I, where did we find that man? You remember? He was found at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. He no longer had a trust in his own knowledge. His own knowledge had him running wild through the tombs. A picture of you and I running through the valley of the shadow of death. The very ones who refused to come to God, shaking their fists saying, I will not have that one rule over me. The very ones that you and I walked with and were like at one time, dead. Kind of a little bit of a relation to that show they got on TV called The Walking Dead, huh? Said a little bit. Don't take it too far. But now, do you realize you're sitting here this morning, right this moment, at the feet of Jesus, in your right mind, hearing His word of truth? To lay all of our cares at His feet, to lay all of our sorrows at the feet of Christ, to turn from what we know as natural, we must be born again. Or in other words, we must be given a new understanding of all that is. We must be given faith to believe His word, the gift of faith. The world did not just come into being. In other words, the Big Bang Theory did not just happen. Nothing just happens. Once we leaned on what we thought was chance. Do you remember ever being lucky? Ooh, how lucky I was one day when I made a little money at the casino. That was a long time ago. And for a while, I lost a whole lot of more money afterwards. So I was unlucky more than I was lucky. Oh, how we once leaned on chance. Once we thought there was luck. Once we attributed all things to Mother Nature, Lady Luck, misfortune. But now the light of truth has been put in our hearts. God rules. That's the light of truth. Not just in most things, but He rules in all things. And that includes the new heart that He has put in us. Do you know He hardened the heart of Pharaoh? Pharaoh's heart was hardened by his own deeds, but the Lord hardened it also, Scripture says. I'm painting a picture of what our Lord's grace means to you and I. Grace preacher. If I was going to call myself anything, I'd call myself a grace preacher. One who preaches on the grace of God every Sunday because it's His grace that I love to hear. It's His grace that gets me through to the next Sunday. It's His grace that gets me through to this afternoon. He rules in our hearts. He either leaves us to ourselves in our natural understandings or in His love. He gives us a new understanding, a new heart to trust Him, a new heart that as the demoniac man, we bring our cares to the feet of Jesus who first loved us. This is a result of His love. We are brought to love Him because He first loved us. We are brought to see by His grace. We are saved through faith, not of ourselves, lest we should boast. His love for His people is so great that He gave Himself as a ransom for us. He became flesh. We read in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached of the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, received up into glory. We also read in Romans chapter 5 verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We read in Ephesians 2, Verses 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, hath given life us together with Christ. And we also read in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow. You know that our Lord is going to say to some, I never knew you. And those that he says, come thou faithful servant, it will be by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he could say that. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, that we, might be the firstborn among many brethren. That he, the Lord Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is how we lay natural feelings, the natural instincts, the natural desires, the natural thoughts, the natural pains, the natural sorrows at our Savior's feet. Philippians 3:3, we read this, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Lean not upon your own understanding. I don't understand everything in this book. And any man who says that he does is lying to you. But I believe what my Lord has inspired men to write and put in this book. When my Savior says that Christ Jesus, my Lord, was made to be sin for me, I believe it. I don't understand that. Some men believe they do, but I don't. My mind's not able to wrap around that fact that God became sin for me. It's also not able to wrap around the fact that because of him being made sin for me, that I'm made righteous in him. I'm not leaning on my understanding. I don't need to understand it. I just know it is true. And I know it is true because he has given me the gift to believe. Has he given you the gift to believe his word? We turn from our own understanding and we lean on him. We lean on his word. We lean on his love for us. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He says, I will never forsake you. And he will not falter. Look again with me at verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3. Going back to our text. Proverbs chapter 5, or chapter 3, I'm sorry, chapter 3. Let's look at verse 5 again, please. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust with all your heart. Turn from your natural understandings. Put whatever feelings you might have aside, put whatever thoughts you might have aside, and put your trust in the only one you can trust, our Lord and Savior. He will not fail you. If you are loved of God, all that is this world of sorrows has to offer will pass away. and His grace will get you through it. I'm not saying it will be peaches and cream. No. The sorrow that Leanne is going through is true. The sorrow that Shelby Fortner is going through is true. The sorrow that we all go through is true. But we know, don't we? We know because God has told us that all things are for our good. I don't know how. I can't even imagine what that was like for my brother and his wife to go through that with the loss of their son and turn to those very verses. And I know the only way that they could was by our Savior's power. I can't imagine the sorrow that the loved folks have gone through in losing a loved one. But I know that when you refer to God's Word to get you through it, it's because God has given you that desire to look into His Word and go through it. There will be sorrow and trials and tribulation. Our sin will be, as long as we are on this word, on this earth, ever before us. Aren't you thankful for these words, "but God"? Does the words "but God" bless you? Oh, it sure does me. I tell you here this morning that if you're loved of God, His shed blood covers a multitude of sin. In fact, it covers all of our sin perfectly. When God the Father looks upon us, His chosen blood-bought people, He sees the life, the death, and the resurrection of His only begotten Son. Isaiah 53 verse 5, we read this, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." In 53 verse 11, we read this, "He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied." God is satisfied with the blood of His Son. We can trust in that. We can put all of our trust in that. In verse 12, we read this, "Therefore I will divide Him a portion with the great." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sits on His throne right now, ruling over everything. God the Father has given Him all power, all honor to His Son, Christ Jesus the Lord, and all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him. We can trust Him. We can trust Him to fulfill all that He has promised. He says, "I shall never leave you nor forsake you." Now let me read that correctly, shall I? Hebrews 13 verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We can trust that. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." What man shall do unto me. He says that all the Father giveth me shall come to me. But listen to what He says next. He says, "And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Boy, that takes a burden off of my back, doesn't it, yours? Our path through the shadow of death may be dreary, it may be sorrowful, but He has promised. Let's close this morning's message, if you would, back in our text of Proverbs chapter 3. Read along with me as we read verses 6. Now let's just read 5 again. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's a promise. Turn to the Lord. All thy ways. You smash your finger while hammering a nail. Okay, Lord, that hurts. That really hurts bad. It was his will. And his will shall be done. And he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, there's those who want to take that and say, if you just trust in the Lord, he's going to make you rich. He's going to fill your barns. We're talking about spiritual things. You want to talk about carnal things? Go somewhere else. Spiritual things. My cup overflows even when I don't know it. It overflows with his grace and his mercy to me. Even when I can't see it, he still died for me and saved me. When the world around us gets rough, what do I say to comfort those who have lost a loved one? What do I say to one who is concerned, who is worried? Am I saved? Did Christ die for me? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. When the sorrows of this world become as waves of the sea. You ever stood on a beach in the ocean, in the waves, and felt the pounding? Man, that was a strong wave. If you stand there for much longer, you're going to get another one. In fact, the longer you stand there in that sand, you're going to continue to get waves slamming, slamming, slamming. When the world around us becomes like that, hitting us over and over and over again, turn your eyes upon Jesus. As Moses lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, and the people looked upon it for the saving of their life. If there's troubles in your world today, if serpents are biting at you today or tomorrow or the next, the only words I have for you in comfort is this: look to Jesus. Take no solace in this, but take solace in what our Lord has said to us. Have peace in his promises to you and I. Look upon Jesus, for he is the life of the world. We sing a song in our Bible study. We're not going to sing it. I want you to open your hymn books to page 435. It might have been better for us to sing this song in closing. On page 435 of your hymn books, read along the words with me if you would. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. See, even for a child of God, to lean not on our own understanding is a very difficult thing. You want to turn away from what we've grown up with and come to understand in what we've lived with in all of our lives? Turn to Jesus. Turn to His Word. You can put trust there. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows your every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms, He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Oh, how I wished and prayed that I could do that. That's taking it to the Lord in prayer. Our dear brother and my pastor, Gene Harmon, reminds me often, he's just waiting for the Lord to take him home. He's been walking with the Lord for 40-something years now. And over time, God has taught him to take it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe someday the Lord will have us right there with it in the same place. I'd like to ask